smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Dog poop is an issue. In the U.S. alone, there are 72 million dogs, each of whom produces about 274 pounds of waste per year. It's a lot of poop. Where does it go? Mostly to landfills, where it pollutes in the form of methane, a greenhouse gas. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today's topic is dog poop and what can be done about it. My first guest is Mark Clayman, co-author of Pet Camp Kennel in San Francisco. A bit later on this episode, we'll hear from a scientist, Will Brinton, who's piloting a technology that literally turns dog waste into energy. But first, Mark Clayman. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Sure. What is it that you're doing about dog waste?
Well, the thing that we're doing that's unique, and I think we're the only people doing it in the country right now, is we're taking all of our dog poop, we're taking it along with our more traditional green waste, the same things you would compost in any house or, you know, any other commercial environment, and we're sending it to a biomass facility. And at that biomass facility, it gets mixed in with other, you know, green or carbon-based waste, and it creates methane gas, which then turns a turbine, and then that creates electricity.
So you're in effect using this waste to try to create electricity?
Yes. I mean, we have a really nice closed-loop system here where the dog food comes in big bags. We feed the dogs. We scoop the poop. We put it back in that same bag, and then it goes off-site to become electricity. So it's a uniquely closed-loop environment right now.
Electricity for whom?
Right now it's being used to run a sewage treatment plant in Oakland, California. We are investigating, currently, trying to put in a small biomass facility here on-site that we would use to create methane gas, and we would harness that gas and either use that to heat hot water here on-site, or we would, you know, set up a small, you know, cogen or turbine that we would then use to create electricity.
So how much dog poop is generated at Pet Camp Kennel?
Well, we roll off-site a cubic yard of green waste a week. So if you took one of those decent-sized roll-off bins that you see, you know, at hotels or restaurants or what have you, we fill that every week, and that goes off-site. So it's hundreds and hundreds of pounds of dog poop. When we are full here, we handle 150 dogs.
At a given time?
Yes.
So is this unusual? Are there other kennels doing this sort of thing, humane societies? Are you in good company?
Right now we are it. This is a demonstration project with the Department of Environment here in San Francisco, Sunset Scavenger, our waste hauler. It's been proven successful. We've actually had our dog poop, of all things, packed in ice and shipped overnight to a lab in Maine, where it's been analyzed and for its ability to produce power. And based on that analysis, we're confident that it is, you know, frankly, a quality feedstock for a biomass facility. And that's sort of what's provoking the next level of discussion about trying to do something on site. Because clearly, to the extent we can avoid a waste hauler coming here, picking it up, driving somewhere, dumping it, you know, that's more impact on the environment. It's more impact from emissions from that truck. It's harder on streets. I mean, the big issue in California right now is the deficit and, you know, that we have potholes everywhere. So if we can get those big trucks off the street, that's good too.
You are certainly doing your share for the environment here. Now, what about individual people who are concerned about, you know, the amount of waste and the contributions they're making to greenhouse gases with their dogs? Any suggestions for them?
Well, the biggest thing is that people need to be responsible pet owners. So no matter what you're doing, you need to pick up your dog poop. I mean, because you don't want surface runoff, you don't want people stepping in it, you don't want transmission of anything that way. The problem becomes sort of what happens next. Most dog parks, even if you pick up your dog poop in a biodegradable bag, which is better than a plastic bag, it's going to just go to a landfill. And eventually it will break down, but it certainly won't break down the way a biodegradable bag was intended to break down. So in the short term, that's the best solution. Over time, I suspect, we will see deposit areas where people can put dog poop. But the waste haulers and the biomass facilities are correctly concerned about contamination. You know, will people put, you know, regular plastic bags in these collection sites? Will people use them for regular debris or, you know, bottle tops or whatever it might be? So, you know, the easier you make something, the more likely it is people will do it. But at the same time, there's the downside risk that people will use it inappropriately.
What about people actually just collecting the dog poo and then flushing it down the toilet?
Sure, you can do that. I mean, you know, but, you know, then in California, I mean, this year we're getting a fair amount of rain. But, you know, there's a water source issue there. Your septic tools may or may not be ready to handle that mass, depending on what you were talking about. But, yeah, I mean, historically that's also been done, certainly in environments where they don't want you to put it in the landfills. You know, you just put it down the toilet. It's certainly doable.
So really the bottom line here is animals are absolutely a part of our footprint, right? We have to keep that in mind, too.
Right. They clearly are part of our lifestyle. I mean, everything that's part of our lifestyle is part of our footprint. And we should do what we can to minimize the impact.
Great. Well, thank you for doing your part, certainly.
It's my pleasure. And thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Technology to turn animal waste into energy has been in the works for some time on a more massive scale, like 5,000 head of cattle, for instance. Will Britton is president of Wood End Laboratories, an environmental testing lab in the state of Maine, and he joins us on the Good Dog Podcast. Welcome, Will. Part of what you do involves, is it research or actual practice of converting waste into energy?
Well, we are researching bioenergy types, and we are helping farmers and industries actually put this to the test by collaborating in pilot studies and building of equipment and so on. So even though we start with the research, we go into the development of it fairly rapidly.
Now, this technology has been around for a while when used on a very mass scale, right, with heads of cattle?
That's correct. Recovering energy through the methane process is certainly familiar to farmers who may have large holdings, 1,000 to 10,000 animals, and lagoons of manure that they will cover and convert to methane. But previously, it hasn't been anticipated on this unexpectedly small scale with dogs.
I know there has been some interest, at least in San Francisco, California, on actually creating some sort of citywide project. Is that sort of thing going on elsewhere in the United States or elsewhere in the world?
We've had a tremendous number of phone calls from dog owners and dog kennels around the country as word of this project got out. And quite a few on the East Coast here also called in and said they would love to participate in this. What do we have to do to get started?
Well, let me ask you that question, because I'm sure we have listeners who are interested in that very thing. What can people, as individuals or municipalities or kennels, there are so many businesses, of course, where lots of dog poop is generated over the course of a week. What can we do to get started?
The crucial thing is to first understand what is the amount of energy content we could extract from the dog waste, and then number two, how could we collect it in a way that would make it amenable to this technology? It's a biological technology. It's essentially a form of controlled biodegradation. But we could not be collecting dog waste, for example, in polyethylene plastic bags, which are often used for the purpose, because the bag itself would inhibit the degradation inside a reactor. So San Francisco has initiated significant programs with biodegradable plastic bags, and we think the next piece that we have to tie together here is, can we collect dog waste in neat, tidy, biodegradable plastic bags and run the whole thing through a methane digester and recover the energy?
How much energy are we talking about per how much poo, as it were?
Well, it's an interesting question. We searched the literature and found almost nobody knew anything about dog waste. And we heard people say, oh, it's all burned out, there's nothing in it but odor. And we heard other people say it might be quite rich, because the diet that we feed our pets is certainly very rich. It's a high oil, high fat and protein diet, which should lend itself well to energy recovery. So we performed tests in the laboratory using actual waste from dog kennels, and found that it's equivalent to the energy content of dairy manure on which methane digesters were really built and designed. We've been getting 2,500 cubic feet of biogas out of every ton of dog waste. So it's a considerable amount. In other words, about 100 times the mass of the dog waste will be biogas.
So is your primary interest here, or is the primary interest of all those working on it, really to reduce the greenhouse gases, or do you see this eventually as a viable alternative source of energy?
Well, we see it as both. Number one, and actually as a third thing, we're getting extremely good odor reduction in our bioreactors. Again, most people, anybody you ask in the world will probably tell you dog manure is one of the worst-smelling forms of feces that exist, and yet once you put it in a bioreactor, there's no release of odor or gas during the entire run. It's a sealed system. And in the end, when we open it up, it has the odor of very mild dairy manure, which, from my point of view, is significantly less bothersome than the original smell. So that was one thing that came out of these studies that everybody's been very pleased with, is that now we can say, in addition to reducing greenhouse gases, we are significantly reducing the odor and making the handling so much easier at the end. And we came up with a calculation now that every dog per year is worth 2 therms of energy.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. It's about 250,000 BTUs per dog per year that they are actually producing in energy. That is, assuming you can collect it all and get it into a reactor and so on.
Now, assuming that people's consciousness will continue to grow in this area, as it certainly has been in the last few years, when do you think we will actually be in a position to be on any sort of mass scale in the United States converting dog waste into energy?
Well, it will certainly start on the small scale, and we've looked at several dog kennels that have a few hundred animals per night per year and sized them out, and it would be considered quite a small reactor. So from the feasibility and cost point of view, it doesn't look like a large undertaking. However, you'd have to set it up in a way that staff were properly trained and the equipment were reliable and safe. And what we anticipate doing is taking it right out into either a boiler to recover heat or a boiler plus a generator to make heat and electrical energy.
I promise not to quote you on anything here, but say, for instance, hypothetically, you had a kennel with a couple hundred dogs per night. Would they actually be able to recoup their costs from a system like this in terms of energy savings in a given amount of time?
Oh, I would say over 3 to 5 years, you should be able to recoup your costs, definitely.
That's better than solar panels, isn't it?
It's pretty good. Methane has a high energy efficiency for recovery, particularly if you use it strictly to recover heat. The efficiency of going down to electricity is lower, of course, because you have to first burn it and then recover the heat to drive a generator. But in any event, it certainly looks doable and would not just be a hole in the ground to throw money in.
Absolutely not. So we've got three big advantages there. You reduce greenhouse gases, you reduce the odor, which I would think if you have a kennel of a couple hundred dogs, couldn't smell so good. And thirdly, you potentially can actually create energy and cost savings for yourself.
That's correct. We could certainly turn on all the lights in a facility and maybe operate the heat for a certain amount of time per year. Naturally, this depends on the location of a facility, whether you're in New England here where the winters are long and cold, or you could be in the South and your concern would be just electricity and maybe air conditioning for the office or something. So these choices will affect how we would design the system.
Very interesting. Well, I work with Guide Dogs for the Blind in San Rafael, California. We have a different podcast called Guide Dog, And I'm certainly going to give them a call and let them know about this.
Well, think how pleased the dogs would be to know that they are contributing to our energy and not just being good companions.
Absolutely. Will, thank you so much for your work and for your insights today, and thanks for being a guest on the Good Dog Podcast.
Thank you very much.
In a continual effort to inform and entertain Good Dog listeners, we've added a blog to the mix. Go to gooddogpodcast.com and click on Good Dog Blog. It features information on the latest show, hints about shows to come, and tips and treats that will hopefully keep you laughing and learning. Please reply by posting a message to the blog, or if you prefer, click on Email Joanne on the Good Dog webpage.